let's just say the year 36 or 37, 38 AD. From that point forward, how in the world did anybody make it into the kingdom of God when the word of God is largely being translated from mouth to mouth, from pen to pen, from man to man, on scrolls of paper, and the letters are scattered here and scattered there? How in the world, without the precise, perfect, anointed holy work of the King James Bible, did anybody ever do that? And why in the world would God do such a horrible thing as to rob men of the most amazing, anointed, fourth person of the Trinity, the King James Bible, for 1600 years, Michael? Hi, this is Michael. I've been receiving a greater number of email inquiries about Bible translations. People seem to be confused, and there's an awful lot of controversy surrounding this subject of what is the best Bible translation? Is there one better than the other? Are they all error-free? Is the King James the king of all Bibles and the only one that we should be reading that's not been perverted by man or the devil? And this is a subject that creates an awful lot of controversy. This is a subject that's right underneath of that title, "The Letter Kills, but the Spirit Gives Life." But I think at this time, it's a good time for me to address this question. Some people have sent emails concerned that I'm using the NIV. And in fact, in the message that you're about to hear, it is a recording that I made for a couple that reached out to me after buying the John 7:17 Challenge books, hard copies for themselves. They had been moved by the ministry and had been touched and were really pleased with what they were hearing. And then they bought the books only to be devastated, finding out that I'm actually using the NIV translation. So what I did is I took it upon myself to make them a recording why I use NIV and my defense of the NIV against the King James only defenders. And then I've decided to share this with others. I just want to make one real simple practical point before you listen to this passionate plea of mine coming right out of the words of Christ that clearly show why this argument is ridiculous. But the simple idea that I want you to look at with me real quick is this. I do not have a French Bible because I do not speak French. I do not have an Italian Bible because I do not speak Italian. I don't have a Spanish Bible because I don't speak Spanish. And I do not read the King James Bible because I do not speak Old English. The King James Bible is written in a language that is different than the language I speak. There's an awful lot of similarity in it, but not enough to remotely say it's the same language. It'd be like telling my friend Gustavo, who's Spanish, he should read a Bible in Portuguese. And that unless he reads the Bible in Portuguese, he's not reading the correct Bible. Unfortunately, there is quite a bit of difference between Portuguese and Spanish, but yet there's enough to be able to understand some. There's a lot of basics that are the same. Very similar to my wife, who's from India. Her native tongue is called Telugu. The primary language in India is called Hindi. And Hindi and Telugu can sound very similar. But you wouldn't dare go to my wife, who speaks Telugu, and tell her the only Bible she can read is written in Hindi. So the first thing people need to understand is that a French person does not read the King James Bible because they don't speak Old English, much less any English. And when you translate the Bible from whatever manuscripts they have translated them from, and by the way, not that this is even remotely part of my main argument against the King James only defense, but there have been many new manuscripts that have been discovered and found since the King James Bible was written back in 1601. Nevertheless, every single language is going to require a different sentence structure, perhaps, different use of words. Some use more, some use less. So, for example, to be able to communicate the truths of God in the French language, you're going to, by the very nature of the language of the French people, you're going to have to remove words in order to communicate because, as I learned when I was in Montreal, the French people's language is much more poetic and artistic. it expresses the same meaning using fewer words. So I want you to remember that when somebody begins to challenge you, or for example, when I received an email just this past week, and a lady said she loves my teaching. This is what she was saying, which my teachings are not my own. They come from Jesus Christ who sent me. But when she says, I love your teachings, but I don't always understand what Bible verse because you're speaking in a different translation. With all due respect, I'm speaking in a translation that is in my own language. If you read the Bible in French, you should not expect to understand what I'm quoting in modern English. And I can say the same thing to a person. When you're reading the Bible in an old English language that is no longer spoken, and I'm speaking to you in my language, which is modern English, you should not be surprised when you cannot understand what I'm saying or where those scripture verses are. But you should also not make the assumption that your old English language is the only language that the Bible has ever properly and accurately been translated into. My friend, this is a terrible argument. Now, I'm going to let this recording speak for itself as I passionately plead by the power of the Holy Spirit to get this person to wake up to the fact that this argument from the King James Only Defenders is arrogant, it's wrong, it is a distraction, it is a controversy, and it takes away from the work of God, which is by faith. And I use the teachings of Christ to make my argument that you will see very clearly in this. However, if you're somebody who wants to go deeper into this and you want to see what are these arguments that the King James Only makes, I mean, what is it exactly that they're saying is wrong with the NIV? I've taken it upon myself about 2 years ago to go to one of the King James Only websites, and I went point by point by point. For example, the King James Only Defenders, one argument, just as an example, would be that they claim that the NIV intentionally discards or tries to hide the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The assertion is made that the devil himself has perverted this Bible. I can't wait for you to hear what my argument is against that in this recording. But I also want you to be able to see, word for word, point by point, as I go through exactly what the King James Only Defenders say their argument is against the NIV, and then I show you in the NIV why that is absolutely incorrect. You'll see some in this document, some statements and assertions that are made that are so radical and so ridiculous that if the ignorant person who wrote this would have simply read five verses farther in the King James, they would be humiliated to discover that the actual slander they're casting on the NIV is right there in the King James as well. And that's just two quick examples of multitudes. So I hope if you're somebody who's been involved in this controversy or you've been confused about it, you'll take some time to look in this. This is not something I want to spend time arguing about. As you'll hear in this recording, there's a reason why. But I do think it's something that we need to stand up for the truth. And I do hope to help my brothers and sisters in Christ who are confused by this subject, and that this controversy is taking them away from a fruitful, loving, life to the full relationship with Christ. May God bless you richly as you listen to this recording. Hello, Michael. This is Michael Criswell. Sir, I just received your email and my heart just sank with frustration. I want to ask you to give me permission to speak to you on the basis that you've testified already in your email that you've been listening to my videos for over a month and you've been moved and touched by them, and that you feel like, I get so many emails, forgive me if I'm reading wrong, that the Lord led you to these, so much so that you've now purchased the book, and your testimony was that you were so excited to receive the book. Now, there must be a reason why you were so excited. It's because of what you heard in my preaching and teaching. And you said that I spoke with such great conviction and passion and authority. But then when you discover the preferred translation of the Bible used in the John 7:17 challenges, the NIV, you were devastated and your wife wouldn't even open it. Now, I want you to understand that I've been in a place similar to where you're at, maybe not as far down or committed to the road that you're on as you are, but I have flirted with it. I've been a Christian for 27 years, and I've experienced all kinds of different, you know, arguments and positions and held all kinds of different beliefs that I no longer believe. Now, I want to appeal to this for you to listen to my argument. I believe that you guys are very passionate about what you believe, as are many people who are in defense of the King James Version. I'm very passionate about what I defend. But at the end of the day, Jesus Christ always taught this one principle that to me is the cake taker in every single argument, hands down. And I can tell you it's proven out in my own experience, and it's proven right in Scripture. Jesus Christ taught these words, and he taught them in many places. Matthew 12:33 would be a good place to start. The idea of you will know a tree by its fruit. If a Mormon came and knocked on my door today, boy, he and I could argue doctrines, we could argue angels, we could argue planets, we could argue devils, we could argue Book of Latter-day Saints, we could argue spiritual practices, we could argue all kinds of things. And they would be absolutely convinced they were right and I'm wrong, and I'd be absolutely convinced I'm right and they were wrong. And if it were a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist, we could do the exact same thing, or even a Roman Catholic. And while I may not be able to go toe-to-toe on every single doctrine they hold, because quite honestly, I'm just not interested in learning about every doctrine that all these false religions have, they would not be able to stand up against the argument that you shall know a tree by its fruit. Any person that ever wants to argue about doctrine, I simply position them in a position of humility and I say, please consider this. Is what you believe about Scripture, is what you believe about the Bible, is what you believe about your doctrines producing in you the sevenfold blessings of life to the full that we hear about in John 10:10? This has proven to be wisdom from God to help me and to prevent me from having to argue with people who are convinced of certain doctrinal positions, or in this instance, that the King James only is the only Bible that we can read. And I'm just going to ask you humbly to give it some consideration on the basis that Jesus Christ said, you may accuse John the Baptist of being a glutton and a drunkard, and you may accuse me of eating with sinners and tax collectors, and you may accuse me of reading a perverted version of the Bible. But Jesus Christ taught that wisdom is proved right by your children. Now here's the main basis I want to appeal to you. In the New Covenant, my friend, the Word of God is paired with the Spirit of God. There is no Spirit of God in the Old Testament upon many men besides a few kings and a few priests here and there along the way. The Spirit of God does not dwell, John 7 says, for it has not been given yet. John the Baptist is the first person to be filled with the Spirit, even from the time of birth in the New Covenant. So the new covenant is a spiritual covenant. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And Paul teaches this principle, that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter he's primarily referring to, obviously, being the letter, the law of Moses. But my friend, there is a principle that is so important and applies so wonderfully to this message on the King James only being the only version of the Bible that a person can read. If you were part of the Wadawi Indians in Ecuador that Jim Elliot and his four friends went down and lost their life to minister the gospel to, what version of the Bible are you reading if you're a Wadawi Indian? Are you reading the King James only? If you're a Wadawi Indian, I want you to see the foolishness of this, Michael. Whatever this man and these people that are teaching, I want you to see how foolish this is, and I want you to see how a good thing, the defense of Scripture, becomes in excess a perversion and leads to slavery. You might be going, wow, Michael, I can't believe you'd be saying these things. Michael, wisdom is proved right by our children. Just hear me out on this. There is a spirit behind the Word of God, and the Bible says in Galatians 5:25, we, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This Spirit has been available to us for over 2,000 years. The Spirit and the Word go hand in hand. Okay? Sometimes the Spirit operates independent of the Word. We see it all throughout Scripture. Given a vision, given a dream, given direction, given guidance, speaking. Okay? The Scripture revelation, I believe, is closed through the book of Revelation. The Spirit has done its work, giving us a complete revealed revelation of God's Word. But as you would hear in my message I've recently done, called The Letter Kills, But the Spirit Gives Life, there's a life-giving Spirit. The Spirit wrote the Word of God. The Spirit is God. For 1,500 years, Michael, there was no such thing as the King James, no such thing as the NIV, no such thing as the NASB, the CSV, the ASV, the Good News Bible. I mean, every single translation, the Revised Version, there was no such thing. There was not even a printing press. There was no such thing as the King James Bible. So, Michael, to all of these brilliant people that ride this horse of King James only, King James only. Well, how in the world did the millions and millions and millions of Christians, let's just say the year 36 or 37, 38 AD, from that point forward, how in the world did anybody make it into the kingdom of God when the Word of God is largely being translated from mouth to mouth, from pen to pen, from man to man, on scrolls of paper, and the letters are scattered here and scattered there? How in the world, without the precise, perfect, anointed, holy work of the King James Bible, did anybody ever do that? And why in the world would God do such a horrible thing as to rob men of the most amazing, anointed, fourth person of the Trinity, the King James Bible, for 1,600 years, Michael? Okay? When you're the Wadawi Indian and you're Jim Elliot, you're not going in and talking to them about the difference in Scripture between Psalm 12, verse 6 to 7 and the NIV and the... There was no even such thing. There was no such thing. And when you go into the jungle, what are you teaching? Are you saying, now listen, if you find a Bible that has a different word right here, and you go to the Strong's Concordance, and the number there is 2275, but really it should have been 2278. Michael, do you see how ridiculous this is? This is the kind of teaching that causes men, as Jesus Christ accused them accurately, of straining out gnats and swallowing camels. Brother, I want to plead with you and your wife both to turn away from this idea that you cannot know God without having a King James Bible, and that every other Bible written has been an attempt of the devil to pervert. And I want you to read what I wrote in a document called Me and My Perverted NIV. Michael, I went through all of the arguments you sent me. I didn't even read them because I've seen them before. I went through all of these main points, these King James, and I go line item by line item and show how each one of them is completely wrong. Michael, you will not believe it until you see it with your own eyes. The idea that the NIV removes the virgin birth. I mean, Michael, this is absolute ridiculousness. And you know what it does? It creates controversies, Michael, which Paul warned against. People that are having an unhealthy interest in controversies which take away from the work of God, which is done by faith. Paul said the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. This is why I don't have these ridiculous conversations. Michael, what? How many versions of the Bible do we need to read Matthew 7:12? How many different interpretations do we need to argue about Matthew 7:12, which Jesus Christ said is the sum of all things? Do to others as you would have others do to you, for this sums up everything, the law and the prophets. Are you kidding me, Michael? Would we take this verse of Scripture and then start hacking it to pieces with different men's opinions about, oh, well, the King James has this right? No, Michael, I don't need a King James, an NIV, a CSV, an NASB, an ASV. I don't need any of those Bibles to follow Matthew 7:12 and enter into the pearly gates through faith in Christ and doing unto others as others would do unto me. This sums up all the law and all the prophets. These were Jesus' words at the Sermon on the Mount. Finally, at the end of all things. Can you imagine the neglect of all of the clear teachings of Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Can you imagine neglecting actually doing those things, Michael? Just bear with me, my friend. Can you imagine neglecting doing those things to go argue doctrine? How deceived can we possibly get when Jesus said these simple words, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Luke 6, 46. Michael, do you have any idea how many people I've met that want to argue for the King James that don't know God and they never have? They're not in possession of the seven things Jesus Christ promised. Michael, I am. Michael, if you saw my inbox just today, I just told my wife tonight, I said, I can't believe all these thank yous. People's lives have been changed, Michael, through Jesus Christ in my ministry. Where is the power coming from to do this? Is it me? Why would God have ever done something so powerful as to change hundreds of people's lives dramatically through the words of Christ that are being spoken through my mouth and through my book when I've been taken captive by the devil by reading his perverted version of the Bible, the NIV? Michael, I'm walking in all seven aspects of life to the full. I have a measure of God that I don't see very many people have. How is that possible since I read the perverted NIV, Michael? Wisdom is proved right by her children. So we can argue all day, but Jesus said you shut the argument down by showing wisdom is proved right by her children. Michael, do you know how many people speak of King James only defense and go scripture by scripture, straining out all the gnats in the Bible? But watch this, Michael, they don't have rest for their weary soul. They're legalists. They don't know God. They never have known God. They're living in the old covenant, following the law, and looking down on every other person who's not quite as righteous as they are. Jesus said there's a special place in hell for those people called hypocrites. That's the majority of these people. They don't know God. I can tell you that authoritatively. They may be deceived for a time and God may open their eyes and bring them out. But these people, Michael, who've spent years straining out gnats to swallow a camel, this is not what Jesus taught. Jesus never mentioned a Bible version. He said, "My words are spirit and they are life." He says, "Go into all the world and teach people to do all that I commanded you." And are we going to quibble now over, you know, this word and that word? And you might say, "Michael, these are not this word." Michael, watch what I wrote in the perverted NIV document. I'm going to send you a link to it so you can look at it for free. It's included with a book download. Hopefully you would have gotten it, okay? But I want you to see with your own eyes as I take every one of their arguments of what they say about the NIV and I show clearly how what they're supposing the NIV and they're supposing what the devil's doing there is absolutely not true. Okay? Every one of the versions of the Bible has errors in it. I can show you errors in the King James. They left out the word one in holy. They left the word holy in, but they left out the word one. I learned this from A.W. Tozer. In several scriptures, three scriptures in the Bible, I list them in this next one, they leave out the word one. That's like leaving God out of the Bible. Would we not say, "Wow, I'm not going to get bent out of shape about that"? Brother, God allowed these kind of things to happen for a reason, to trip men up who do not really want to live the truth. There's a big difference in studying doctrine versus walking like Jesus, walking like Jesus. You could have all the doctrines correct. The Pharisees had them better than anybody, and yet they didn't live like Jesus. They didn't have Matthew 11, 28 through 30, rest for their weary soul. Michael, I want to ask you, do you have these things? Is believing what you're believing about the King James being the only version, is this producing in you the fruit of Christ-likeness? Are you walking? Is the King James only defense that you have, is it causing you to walk and live like Christ? Do you have Matthew 6, 31 through 34, no worry about anything in your life? I do. I don't worry about anything in my life. I only concern myself about other people's lives and about stuff like this, Michael, that trips people up. I hate seeing this. I hate it that your wife won't even open a book that's changing thousands of people's lives all around the world. Michael, you can't even imagine how ridiculous that must seem to the Lord Christ. I mean, I spent 2 years writing this book, Michael. God had me write it while I was homeless. I now have over, 12,000 some odd subscribers on YouTube in less than a year. And people all over the world, thousands of people have sent me emails and are taking this John 7:17 challenge, and Jesus Christ is radically changing their life. People walking away from bad relationships that are no good for them. People are surrendering their entire life, giving up their whole will for Christ, getting free from addictions, getting free from the torment of demons, getting free from the world, getting free from their self. Michael, what? Can you imagine suggesting that work is being done by the devil? Because that's what people are saying. If you're saying that I'm teaching out of the perverted NIV, then it's the devil who's getting all the credit for all this life change. Michael, John 4:13 through 14, people that follow Christ Jesus by the Spirit. And I promise you, Jesus didn't have any problem ensuring that the spirit of his word is maintained in the NIV. I've been living it and reading it for 20 years. I read it for 19 years. It didn't do anything for me until I began to actually obey it. Michael, John 8:31 through 36. Do the King James only defenders have freedom from their sin? Jesus said you can't go to heaven unless you're free from your sin. He said anyone that sins is a slave to sin. Are you a slave to your anger, to jealousy, to your temper? Have you gotten victory over the flesh, victory over addictions, pornography, the lust of the eyes? These are all things that you must have victory over in order to receive the kingdom of God. Jesus said for you to tear out your eye if it causes you to sin. It's better for you to enter into heaven with one eye than it is to have both and to be thrown into eternal fire. You know how many people that are defending the King James don't have victory over their own temper? And when nobody's looking, they're screaming at their wives or holding on to jealousy or treating their wives or families with contempt? Okay, John 14:27. Do you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, Michael? Jesus Christ said he gives us our peace. That means no matter what happens in the world around us, you have peace. Michael, I've lived in it for the last 7 years. God has continued to increase no matter what circumstances I've gone through. God has blessed me with this peace. Well, how is that possible since I'm reading the devil's version of the Bible? How is that? What an unbelievable coincidence it is that I'm in possession of John 15:5 through 8. Michael, Jesus Christ said, if my words remain in you and you remain in me, you may ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Michael, I'm bearing, if I may say, before my Father, I'm bearing quite a bit of fruit because of my abiding in Christ. He's producing a tremendous amount of fruit through me. This is I'm not special. This is what the Bible teaches. This is exactly what Jesus Christ taught, John 15:5 through 8. And he said, not only that, you'll have an abundance of answered prayers and fruitfulness. I have them journaled. 430 hours of audio recordings over 6 years detailing countless hundreds of answers to prayer. But how could this be possible? Because I'm reading the devil's NIV perverted version. Michael, can you imagine what my life will look like when I finally find out and God opens my eyes that the King James is the only one? It's going to be the same thing that happens when I find out I don't have the Holy Spirit in me because I don't yet speak in tongues. How ridiculous. I've overcome the world. I've overcome my flesh. I've overcome the opinions of men. I've overcome some of the most pathetic weakness you could ever possibly imagine. I put it out there for the whole world to hear about and see, all through Jesus Christ. But it's a miracle, because how could this have ever happened with me reading the perverted NIV, the devil's version of the Bible? How is it possible that I have John 15:9 through 11, the joy of Christ in my heart made complete? Michael, I tell you, it makes me really angry, not at you, not at your wife. It makes me angry that this teaching is out there, Michael. It makes me so angry. I get up every single morning. You know what my son just asked me yesterday, my 15-year-old son? He said, Dad, do you still sometimes pet your Bible? because he's seen me do this in the past. He saw me do it to my dirt bike back in the day when I was an idolatrous fool. But he also knew that I did it to my Bible, and he asked me about it. And I told him, yes, son, I do, and I actually kiss it. But Michael, could you imagine me kissing and showing affection to the Word of God that's been perverted by the devil? Do you see how ridiculous and what an assault that is to the very book that's helped me to find Jesus Christ in the fullness that I have? I mean, Michael, you got to understand, you're hearing a recording from a guy who's a nobody. That's what's so wrong about this. I'm a nobody. I'm just a regular guy that decided to put Jesus Christ to his word. And I decided I'm done with the world, and I'm done with me, and I'm done with what men tell me. Which, Michael, the only place you can learn that the King James is the only Bible we can listen to is not from God. That comes from man. That comes from man. And yes, Michael, you won't find somebody that's just a regular nobody on the internet, I don't think. People seem to think I'm something. I'm nobody. But where do you find somebody that's a nobody like myself as defensive and passionate about the Word of God as I am, Michael? And where do you see somebody standing up against the, you know, the lies of the devil and the lies of Scripture and defending some doctrines, you know, passionately? I believe in defending the truth. That's what I do. That's what my ministry is about, is exposing the lies that stand in people's way. But Michael, the idea that the King James is the only Bible, no, sir. That's the lie. That creates division in the body of Christ. It stirs up dissension. It creates an unhealthy interest in controversies that block the work of God, which is done by faith. It's the straining out of a gnat and swallowing a camel. And it leads to people being killed by the word rather, and by the letter, rather than having life by the Spirit, which is behind the word. I want to warn you to be very careful. Do you know something? The only sin that's unforgivable besides unbelief, Jesus Christ taught, there is only one unforgivable sin: blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What if I am right about these King James defenders? And although they're passionate and although they're sincere, but they're sincerely and deadly wrong. And instead of actually working for God, they've been twisted to work against God. And they themselves are blaspheming the Holy Spirit who wrote or aided in a certain translation of the Bible. What if, in fact, they are attributing evil to the work of the Spirit in the Word of God in the translation they despise? Do you know that's an unforgivable sin? Do you know that as soon as the Pharisees did this to Jesus Christ and began to say that he was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, God blinded their eyes and Jesus no longer spoke in anything except for parables? I pray in Jesus' name, ask yourself this question: if I were indeed so committed to reading a perverted version of the Bible that was in fact twisted, that was ungodly, where there was an intentional spirit of the devil behind it to lead people astray, Michael, how have I and how did the gazillions of people before me, before the printing press in the year 1500 and some odd, how in the world did anybody ever find God without the King James Version Bible? Michael, do you see how you can actually take a Bible verse and you can paraphrase it without even using any of the same words? And because the Spirit of truth is behind it, if the person who's hearing the Scripture loves the truth, they will get the truth, Michael. That is the truth. I could take the entire Bible, supposing I wanted to lead someone to Christ who can't read and never wanted to read. Does that mean they'll never be able to become a Christ follower because they don't have the right word in Psalm 12, verses 6 through 7? Do you see that? Michael, do you realize every single time that you translate the Bible, for example, into French, you absolutely must lose a bunch of words because the French language does not use the same number of words that we do to describe things. Every single translation of the Bible all over the world. Think about how ridiculous this argument is. There's not a single translation in any language anywhere in the world that is like the King James Bible. So what that means is, unless you speak Old English or unless you can read English, you can't have the correct version of the Bible. How absolutely arrogant that is. That makes me want to flip change tables over. That's ridiculous. It makes me never want to pick up the King James Bible, honestly. And I know it's not the King James Bible's fault, but this is just ridiculous. I hope you're not taking this personal, my friend, because it's not against you. But I will refuse to back down from an argument that takes a shot at my Father's word that was given to me that has changed my life. And for somebody to try to suggest that it's from the devil, man, this is ridiculous. I've received one email from you tonight. I'm just going to put you on the spiritual money and challenge you. No different than Peter was challenged in his face by Paul. I say this in love to you, Michael, the desire to see you and your wife better off. Michael, are you in possession of the seven things that Jesus Christ promised in life to the full? Do you have it? Is the belief that you have right now about the King James Bible producing this fruit? Because, Michael, if it's not, we don't have anything to argue about. I'm in possession of all of those things, and if I said I wasn't, I would be lying. My Father is my witness in heaven, and so is every family member and friend I have. I don't care if it sounds arrogant. I don't care if it sounds prideful. I'm sure people standing around watching Paul confront Peter to his face thought, wow, this guy sounds arrogant. Or him confronting the Roman guards, who he said, no, they have got to come back and take responsibility for throwing me in here. I'm a Roman citizen. I suppose that sounded arrogant. I suppose Matthew 23 sounds arrogant. I suppose Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's calling you stiff-necked people who are always and stubborn-hearted, always resisting the Holy Spirit, sounded arrogant. But they were speaking in truth. And my friend, I'm telling you, you will know a tree by its fruit. Don't, I plead with you, Michael, don't buy into this lie. Don't let somebody go and split hairs. That is not who God is. He's wanting to see, are you living in love? Do you need, what translation of the Bible do we need to see where it says, love one another? A new command I give you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13:34. How many versions of the Bible do we need to read that in? How many versions of the Bible, Matthew 7:12? How many versions of the Bible, Matthew 7:21-27, that unless we obey the teachings of Christ, we come to nothing? How many of those, Matthew 6:14-15, unless you forgive men when he sins against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins? How many Matthew 5:27s? No lusting, no adultery. How many different Bible translations do we need to know? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. Michael, don't miss. Don't miss. You're missing it now, brother. You're not in possession of it, but you can be if you listen to me. I'm speaking to you and encouraging you and admonishing you in love. And Paul tells Timothy, rebuke them sharply so they will be sound in the faith. That's what I'm doing with you. I'm trying to tell you as Paul taught them, if you will put into practice that which you have seen and heard in me, the God of peace will be with you. Don't let these King James only people drag you into their despair and into their nothingness to where you're splitting hairs when Christ comes back. And it says in Luke 12:42, who is the wise manager who sits around and splits hairs on doctrines and reads only the King James Bible and warns everybody else that every other translation is by the devil? No. Luke 12:42 says, who is the wise manager who, when his master comes back, he's coming back, praise God, when his master comes back, finds him feeding and giving the food allowances to his fellow servants at their proper time. Michael, not this garbage arguing about the King James, man. You will never find fullness in Christ as long as you decide to join that camp. Mark my words. I do not know God. I never have known God. Everything he's ever done in my life, the 777-day miracle divorce is a lie. The amazing documentary you're getting ready to see of the marriage and the visa process and how God did amazing miracles all in advance, all caught on video, all shown on pictures, all of that is a complete lie. And I'm a delusional, mentally ill maniac. My friend, God will not honor the heart of a Pharisee. He will not honor the spirit of those who strain out gnats and swallow a camel. Jesus Christ spoke so hard against this. He called these people a brood of vipers. He called them snakes. He called them sons of hell. He called them children of the devil. I'm pleading with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this argument go. Forget looking at scriptures and comparing, and instead pick a scripture and obey it. If you want to find God, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know that what I'm telling you is the truth, just find the scriptures, Michael, that you're outside of and begin to obey them and humble yourself, Matthew 18, 3 through 4. Don't become like a theologian. Jesus didn't say unless you change and become like a theologian, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless you change and become like a little child. Little children don't take verses of scriptures and set them all beside each other and start looking at the Greek and Hebrew. Do you know some of the godliest people I know don't know the first word of Greek and Hebrew? I'm one of them. I think I may know Deuteronomy. I mean, there's a couple other ones, of course, that are popular. But I know the Father. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with me in my life every single day. Do you see how crazy? All right, I could just keep going on. May God bless you to know the truth. And if you love it, he will absolutely teach it to you. God bless you in Jesus' name.